National Championship Review episode of the Daft on Draft podcast.
Preview.
Preview episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. We have one college football game left all season, and then we're firmly into draft season. Dalton, I'm glad we did a mailbag because we might have to make that a weekly thing now that we don't have games to talk about.
That'd be a
weekly thing to do. But we have a national championship game to preview. And before the season started, if you would have told us the matchup would have been Ohio State versus Notre Dame, we would have told you that probably one of those teams was correct.
Yeah. I, especially after week two, would have told you that only one of those teams, after losing to Northern Illinois. But listen, man, this defense for Notre Dame, and even with the Northern Illinois loss, I've never stopped talking about this Notre Dame defense. I love the way that Marcus Freeman coaches these guys up. I love the way the intentionality of the way that their secondary and linebackers play in coverage. It is – they dog you. Mm-hmm. And they have dudes who, when you talk to a casual fan, they're like, dude, those defensive linemen are big. And then you look at their measurables, and none of them are even 300 pounds.
Yeah.
None of them are even 300 pounds. And so it's just – it's a damn shame they're not in the Big Ten, because there is no more Big Ten football team than the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
Nobody plays Big Ten football the way that the Notre Dame Fighting Irish do.
They dog walked the ACC. Like the COVID year when they played in the ACC, they would dog walk the ACC.
Yes, absolutely. Because they're more physical. They're tougher, flat out. And so, yeah, really excited about this game. Obviously, one of these teams is far more talented than the other. But I do think that they're like the plucky little David versus Goliath here. And if they can ugly this game up, if Ohio State shoots themselves in the foot offensively the way that they did in the last game against Texas, Notre Dame can stay in this game and make this a game and then try to win it late.
Yeah. The question is, can you dog some dogs?
Yeah.
Right? Like Notre Dame throughout any step of this process has not played. I mean, they played two of the worst receiving cores for the teams that Penn State and Georgia are.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible receiving course. And I do like their corners, and we've talked, we've raved about that secondary and what they can do to you. But they've never played a Carnell Tate, they've never played an Emeka Ogbuka, and they've never played a Jeremiah Smith along this pathway to getting to the national championship. So that is my concern. It's like, yes, this is they will beat you down, but you can beat down Amari Evans, you can beat down Arian Smith. You can beat, you know, like the top dogs. You can beat them down. Can you beat down Jeremiah Smith?
I don't know if Jalen Ramsey right now can beat down Jeremiah Smith.
So probably that's the biggest thing to watch is it, but if that secondary can wear on you, I mean, Michigan wore on Ohio State's offense.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think the solace that you can take from this matchup is, what is Michigan's strength? That defensive line. Mm-hmm. What is Notre Dame's strength? I mean, defense.
Well-rounded, yeah.
They have two absolute dogs on the interior in Howard Cross and Riley Mills. And it's not like it's just them either, because they have a little bit of depth there as well. So, and then you get to the edge and you have guys like RJ Oven. And listen, Mills and Cross and Oven, they're all day three guys. But they're dogs, and that is – I'm really excited to see how that patchwork, young, 4- and 5-star Ohio State interior does against the interior of this Notre Dame defense.
Yeah, matchup to watch, because, again, that Ohio State offensive line is playing excellent football compared to how they ended, how they crawled into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that holds up as well, because we've talked about the Ohio State running backs, how Travion Henderson is playing the best football of his career right now. Mm-hmm. Does Notre Dame's second level have an answer for him out of the backfield? Because he'll
Jack Kaiser keep up with him?
Yeah. Or do they drop Xavier Watts down because Ohio State's tight ends aren't much of a threat? Do they try to play Watts a little bit more in the box this game? Things like that. Does Quinton Judkins wear down on that defense as much as that defense can wear on the offense? Like we talked about Judkins, it's like we don't love him from a perspective of a running, like an NFL running back who has good vision or fluidity, but like
he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, ain't
he? It kind of sounds like it. It kind of feels like it, yeah. But he'll punch in the mouth every time he touches the football. Mm-hmm. Like, can you respond to that and bounce back up every single time? And so this is going to be a really physical game.
Yeah.
I mean, Ohio State was.
It's going to be real football.
Oh, yeah.
As JP Acosta would say,
yes.
This is real football here. Yes. We're going to get, you know, 30 carries from each team. One of these teams is going to use its quarterback as a glorified battering ram. It's going to be some real good.
The all CTE national championship. All
right. Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yes. He's going to praise the Lord every single time he gets up. I didn't know that about Riley Leonard. But
yeah, I kind of figured if he went to Duke and Notre Dame, two religious institutions.
I guess that makes sense. And being from Mobile, from the deep side, it doesn't get much deeper than that. So it makes sense. Yeah. And nothing against him. For it, it's just it's funny because we haven't I hadn't heard anything about that until this point, so
yeah,
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Question here, let's talk about some quarterbacks. Everyone's desperate for a quarterback in this class. I need to chart both.
I talked about that on the radio today. Everybody wants a quarterback. I had Las Vegas call me, and I was like, it's a two quarterback class, and it's really probably a one quarterback class, and it might not even be a one quarterback class. So like, that's it. After those two, don't even try. Don't even try.
Yeah, it's the Browns thing right now is Jackson Dart. I don't know why. Everybody in Cleveland Twitter, I think it's because they realize that the Browns are probably going to trade out. I think that's kind of the betting favorite thing right now is that the Browns are going to trade out. So they're just trying to find a quarterback, and
I'm gonna call this right now. The Browns should not trade out
and take Abdul Carter.
And take Abdul Carter because you have two aliens on the edge.
But what if Cam Ward goes one? You could also pair Travis Hunter and Denzel Ward.
I think I want to build that defensive line because you still have Martin Emerson, you still have dudes back there.
And you had a bad year, but
I know, but yeah. You have some good safeties too. Like secondary is there.
Decent safety,
good safety. Yeah. You build up a pass rush and you have guys that can cover man to man on the outside in the slot.
See, we'll talk a lot more about the quarterbacks over the summer, obviously, because when you look at this class on paper, it doesn't look like a good quarterback class next year.
No.
But you have to caveat it with heading into summer scouting, we're going to have some rough evaluations of Nico Iamaliava. We're going to have some rough evaluations of Aiden Childs. We're going to have some rough evaluations of Lenora Sellers. Guess what? All have tools like crazy, and all were first-year starters. Mm-hmm. It's okay to expect some first-year starter mistakes, but also to anticipate what a jump could look like. And that's kind of what you're betting on in summer scouting anyway, what a jump 100%. Would look like. What a jump would look like from these guys who have massive tools. I think Aiden Childs is the perfect example. He led all of the FBS in interceptions last year. But guess what? Michigan State, in a first year with new head coach Jonathan Smith, who Aiden Childs was with at Oregon State, and they literally had to tear down that entire program after Mel Tucker. That entire program transferred out. So yeah, it's going to be rough year one. Iamaliava, maybe a little less grace there because the offense that he runs and the time he has spent, even not redshirt as, you know, or spending some time as Joe Milton's backup. And I think he probably should have been a little bit more prepared, but there's room for all of these guys to grow. Even Cade Klubnik. Like if I had to say right here today, based on like just broadcast and like the small work I've done on some of the guys of last year's class, I'd say Cade Klubnik's probably my summer scouting QB1 right now. Like the step that he took from sophomore to junior, why can't we anticipate the same step from junior to senior? And again, he's a five-star with tools out the wazoo. So that's just a conversation about quarterbacks. That's way off the tracks of talking about the national championship game. But back to the quarterbacks about the national championship. Yes. Here we go. Full circle. Full circle here. One, who's the better NFL draft quarterback in this game? And two, are they in the same tier as Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe, or are they still firmly a tier below?
Oh, I think Jackson Dart is a tier below all of these guys.
I do too.
Personally. Because it's just not, there's nothing there. Above here, nothing is there. He has better tools than both of these guys. Leonard's a better runner. And Will Howard can run a little bit, but he's not like super physical or he can just kind of get out there. He's athletic enough to get out there.
Howard's the one with some pretty insane anticipation through the playoffs, though. Like,
What I'm saying. Howard, I think when I'm looking at the playoffs and how he's played against his best competition, I would take Howard over Riley Leonard. But I think Riley Leonard is going to be a really good backup because I think Leonard is a guy who you can bring in and he won't lose you games and he gives you something in the run game that defenses won't be prepared for because they have not prepared for him unless he has to start for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that as well. Are there any individual matchups, one-on-ones, that you're like, I cannot wait to get my eyes on this?
I mean, Donovan Jackson at left tackle and RJ Oben is going to be a big one for me in this game. And then other than that, Mitchell Evans kind of and Lathan Ransom, but like,
not in Lathan Styles, Ransom is like a freaking crash dummy.
I know. and then outside of that, you're kind of looking at next year's class with Styles and Love and Price. Mm-hmm. And then in the secondary, I mean, it all kind of comes down to how you feel about guys like Jordan Clark and Rod Hurd, like six-year guys that are going to be like late day three guys maybe.
Yeah.
Up against this receiving core. It's gonna be tough. Even though they're dogs, it's gonna be tough.
Mm-hmm. Where it gets interesting is when I go back to talking about Will Howard anticipating some crazy windows, and like when I was texting a buddy, and he's like, "Man, he better not be late on one of these throws." I am wondering, like, if Xavier Watts is maybe watching some tape and kind of salivating, like, I can bet that.
Well, because a lot of those throws have been to Egbuka over the middle of the field.
Over the middle, like he's throwing some crazy ass digs over the middle into like non-existent windows. Mm-hmm. So. That's kind of where I'm wondering, like, is this a Xavier Watts kind of game if he can catch Will Howard? Because ultimately I do think in that Ohio State offense, Will Howard is the wild card because he probably is the least talented of all of those skill players on that offense. And they just need him to do his job. We saw against Michigan that cost them because he couldn't. Against Penn State, he threw a pick six, like he threw that interception on the opening drive. Like, is this going to be one of those Michigan-Penn State game where Will Howard comes out and tries to do a little too much, or he is late on a throw that he shouldn't be late on and it costs them? Or is he going to continue to do what he did in the first half against Texas, what he did against Tennessee, and just fall out? Like, just drop his stones and play fearlessly. Because that's really what it has been. He's like, I'm throwing the football. I'm throwing this. I see a defender's back. I'm throwing the football. Like, so that's where I'm like, ooh, Xavier Watts might be able to get one.
Yeah, I really wish there was more from an NFL draft perspective.
There's really not.
On, because, like, Hancock and Igbinosen and Burke versus what?
Chris Bo Mitchell. Collins.
Chris Mitchell. Jordan Faison is only a sophomore. So, like, not really an NFL draft matchup. Although I do think Faison will be, an NFL draft guy, day three guy. From a pure prospect on prospect matchup, this game doesn't really have all that much. No, for me, it all kind of comes down to the battle in the trenches. And again, patchwork young offensive line for Ohio State versus a very veteran defensive line for Notre Dame. And the opposite is true.
Same thing, yeah.
Notre Dame has a younger offensive line, and there are four guys that Dane Brugler believes are going to go top 100.
That's where I kind of think, like, we just mentioned, like, Notre Dame. What kind of threat does Notre Dame have at wide receiver versus Hancock, Igbinosen? And Igbinosen is going to get thrown at a lot because he's grabbing. It gets three flags thrown against a game.
Yeah.
So they're going to throw at him. But, like, this is a game where I think Jim Knowles, a defensive coordinator for Ohio State, might just tell the guys get up in their face and let your guys up front work. Like this just might be a get up and bang kind of game.
They have to. Secondary. They have to, because Notre Dame doesn't want to hold on to the ball. They don't want Riley Leonard holding on to the ball for more than 2.5 seconds.
And they're going to get it out of the box because of Jeremiah Love.
Yeah. They want to get it out within 5 yards. Like they do not want to drop back and run intermediate and deep concept. They don't want to do that. And against this team, you can't do that. And we saw it against Texas A&M. Riley Leonard didn't hold on to the ball for more than 3 seconds, I think, that entire freaking game. And so that's how you mitigate Jack Sawyer and, to a lesser extent, JT Tuimoloau. But all the games that they play on the defensive line to get Ty Hamilton, to get Ty Leak free, I think that it's that part of the game is going to be mitigated by Notre Dame's offense. What I'm super interested in is what you were just about to talk about, the run game of Ohio State versus that defensive line, and the run game of Notre Dame versus Ohio State's defensive front.
Lathan Ransom might not backpedal the whole game. He might not backpedal the whole game. But I'm glad you brought up Tyleik Williams, because did you see what he did to that? Were you able to watch what he did to that Texas offensive line? At all.
No, I haven't watched the tape on him yet.
It's like
no.
He singled out each and every one of them and had at least one rep where he put them on the ground.
Yeah.
He's got a rep against Kelvin Banks where he got him way out in front and push-pulled, and Jake Majors. Like it was probably Tyleik Williams' best game of the season for a guy who has really, really good run game tape.
Mm-hmm.
Like very good tape. Which is needed. They've locked in. So man, we're only at 17 minutes here, but do you have anything else you need to talk about this game?
Let's do predictions.
Ooh, good call. We should do that. Yeah, we should definitely do that.
I think we probably both have the same team winning.
Ohio State. I think it's going to be closer than 14.
Is that the spread?
I don't know what the spread is. I haven't looked at the spread.
Yeah, let's look that up real quick, because I haven't looked that up either. The spread's
eight and a half. Oh, that's still a big spread, man. That's a big spread. I think Ohio State covers that, but it's not going to be a two-score game. Well, I guess if they cover it, it's a two-score game. But it's not going to be like a two-touchdown game. I don't think it's a two-touchdown game.
I think Notre Dame is going to muck this up. I think Ohio State is going to feel a little bit of the pressure. They're going to make some mistakes early. I think this game goes into half with Notre Dame tied or leading it. Mm-hmm. And then Ohio State settles down, gets ahead by
seven.
Yeah. I think they win by 7, maybe 10. But I don't think they're going to go out and dominate this game, because I think that Notre Dame is a team that can make you make mistakes.
I think it'll be like a 27-17 game with that last field goal coming in, like Notre Dame fails on a fourth down conversion. Ohio State kicks a field goal with 3 minutes left or something like that. To make it a two score game. And I think that's the kind of game where Notre Dame with 3 minutes left in the game, 5 minutes left in the game is still down one score and has a chance to win. I think it's kind of what we're looking at again, because I also think that one over 300 yards passing total between two teams might be a hard number to hit in this game. Over 60 rushing attempts is not off the table. So I think that's kind of what we're looking at when we're talking about this game. I think it's going to be real football. It's going to be fun. It's going to be. They're going to be hitting. They're going
to
be hitting.
At the end of the day, this will all come down to Notre Dame's ability to protect against the explosive passing play and the explosive run, for lesser extent, explosive run play, but like the screen to Henderson. Downfield to Smith, downfield to Igbuka. Like that is what Notre Dame needs to avoid in this one.
Yeah. I will be interested because Texas, they had what's his face? Jeremiah Smith bracketed pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, based on how much Notre Dame loves to just get in your face and wear you down, if they're going to adjust or if they're just going to say, no, we're going to keep doing it. I think you have to account for him, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, how much? Are they going to do as much as Texas did? Or, like, are they going to say, like, no, we still need to bring it up front, so, like, we can't put this much attention on the back end?
No, I think they're going to shade him pretty hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
So I said 27-17. What's your...
24-17.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of on the same page. Feels hard to predict Notre Dame to score over 17.
Yeah. Yeah. This Ohio State defense is so freaking good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So there we have it. We've predicted Ohio State to win. I dropped that. I don't think there's going to be over 300 yards passing in this game. Well, no. We'll say 350. There won't be over 350 yards passing in this game. There's going to be a lot of running the football. There's going to be a lot of banging. So, real football. Get ready for it. Monday night, 7:30. Tap in. Ohio State, Notre Dame. Last college game of the season. But for now, that's the last episode of the Daft on Draft podcast of the college football season. When we come back, we'll have the breakdown of this game on Tuesday because we're not staying up Monday night to record to talk about it. Or on Wednesday because we're not staying up Monday night to record to have it out Tuesday. But we will have a Monday episode still. Or a Tuesday episode still. Man, my days are mixed up. And then we'll have to figure out next week too, Dalton, because I'm heading to Frisco on Friday. So
yeah, we will figure something out.
Yeah, we will. All right. Until next time, I'm Corey. That is Dalton. And this has been the Daft on Draft podcast.